Okay, let's pray. Your word, our Lord, is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Open and enlighten our hearts that we may understand purely and clearly what you're saying. I pray you bless us with that in Jesus' name. Amen. The fisherman goes out at dawn when everyone's abed, and from the bottom of the sea draws up his daily bread. His life is strange, half on the shore and half upon the sea, not quite a fish and yet not quite the same as you and me. The fisherman has curious eyes. They make you feel so queer, as if they had many things, as if they had seen many things of wonder and of fear. They're like the sea on foggy days, not grey nor yet quite blue. They're like the wondrous tales he tells, not quite, yet maybe true. He knows so much of boats and tides, of winds and clouds and sky, but when I tell of city things, he sniffs and shuts one eye. It's a poem called The Fisherman by Abby Farwell Browning. It's a clever little poem, but it also captures something quite profound. The fact that fishermen, really serious fishermen, they're not quite like the rest of us. I've never been much use at fishing. I tried it when I was younger and gave up for good reason because I was no good. But I know that for those of us who are really into fishing, they take it really seriously. And more than that, for those whose livelihood it is, who it's their job, becomes their life, like the fisherman in the poem, it's a real identity thing. Becomes a real identity thing. And I understand that a little bit because it's kind of the same with serious musicians. Despite what happened earlier, I have been a full-time musician in the past. But when you're a musician, you don't just say, I play music. You say, I am a musician. And yes, drummers like me, we say that, and it is true. We are musicians. Fishermen are similar, only with a slightly different smell, even to drummers. And when you get a fishing community, you get a community of people who have this kind of identity of fishermen. And that's what we see in the short little passage from Mark's Gospel that we heard. Two families of fishermen whose identity and whole lives would have been caught up in fishing, and whose identity and whole lives were about to be changed, and that their lives were about to be changed in a way that would impact the whole world. So we're going to have a quick look back over this short little story. You might have blinked and it went past you. We're going to have a quick look at it again, this fishing story. It's in Mark chapter 1, verses 16 to 20. Worth having your Bibles open. If you got one of the church Bibles, it was page 858 in the black ones, page 812 in the kind of burgundy reddish ones. And so we're going to look over it again, and then we're going to notice four facets of following and fishing that flow out from this story. And those four facets of following and fishing have an impact for each of us in our lives as well. So, first of all, let's look back at this fishing story. Now, it is a fishing story, a little bit like a fish story, but unlike some fish stories, this one's true. It happened in the real world. It says there in verse 16, little number 16 there, that it happened beside the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee is a large lake in the north of what is now Israel. What happened on that day that we read about in Mark's Gospel may well have been near the town of Capernaum. We know the likely site of Simon's house, Simon who's mentioned there. We know the likely site of his house in Capernaum, which is near the lake. You'd expect a fisherman's house to be near the lake. And so this happened in our world. You could still go to the area where it happened and visit. And this encounter in our little passage follows what Sue was talking about earlier. Those of us who were here 2 weeks ago, we saw Jesus arrive into the scene in this kind of region, in the Galilee region, and he said that the time had come. The kingdom of God was near. It was time to repent, to turn back to God, that is, and to believe the good news. So that was Jesus' message, that he came speaking. And now, here we begin to see the impact of the one who brought this message. First of all, verse 16, we see Jesus speak to these two brothers, Simon and Andrew. They were fishermen, and they were doing what fishermen do. They were trying to catch fish, and they were casting their nets. And it would have been a kind of circular net, that's the word that's used there, and the circular net would sink down and trap the fish. So you have to be a pretty good shot. And Jesus calls on them with these powerful words that we see in verse 17. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. And in verse 18, they have this radical reaction. At once, they left their nets and followed him. Then Jesus goes on a little bit further. Verse 19, he sees another pair of brothers, James and John. So we've seen Simon and Andrew, now it's James and John. And James and John are in a boat, probably much like this boat. This was found in the general area, and it's from about that time period, dates from about that time. And James and John would have been sitting in a boat like something like this, doing their work on their nets. They were fishermen too, so they were mending the nets. And verse 20, Jesus calls them. He calls James and John, probably with similar words to those he used for Simon and Andrew. Words about following him, and he's going to make them fishers of a different kind. And again, they have this radical reaction. They leave their nets, they leave their father in the boat, and they follow Jesus. Well, that's the story. These two encounters that happened in our world by the Sea of Galilee. It's a very brief story, but these encounters were going to go on and have a massive significance for our world. Massive significance for reasons we're about to see. So, let's now focus in on four facets of following and fishing that flow out of these encounters. Four facets. The first one is, we need to realize that we who follow Jesus today, those of us who follow Jesus today, echo their echo. We are echoing the echo of these fishermen. See, this little story that we've just read is actually their story. It's a story of the unique call of those four fishermen. Four men who were the beginning of the group called the apostles. This group who Jesus called to himself, prepared and trained, and they lived and ministered with him. And he was training them, preparing them to be his authorized witnesses, his messengers for the world. And that means these four fishermen were in an important way very different to us, because they were part of a unique, unrepeatable group. They received that unique call to be apostles in a unique way. But at the same time, part of their work as witnesses of Jesus was to echo his call. As he had called them to follow him, he'd said, come follow me. So they echoed that call and they called others to follow Jesus. So for those of us who are followers of Jesus, we're not exactly the same as them, but we do follow the same call that they followed. Just as he called them, through them, we hear his call to us. So we're following the same call, the call to repent and to believe, the call to come and follow Jesus. We are impacted by the same call that they are. These men, Simon and Andrew, James and John, in a sense, they're still fishing today. Even though they've been dead for nearly two millennia, they still fish for people through the call that they make. In fact, if you're a follower here of Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus here tonight, then you have been caught through their fishing. And you might think that's a strange thing to say because they never spoke to you or to me directly. But actually, everyone who believes in Jesus at some level has come to believe through their story. Because the New Testament in the Bible, Jesus' message to us has come through them. So they were witnesses. They were the witnesses. They were the ones who told what they saw. And then it was written down and it became our New Testament in the Bible. And that means whether we've heard it directly from the Bible, whether we came to know Jesus through reading the Bible, or whether we heard it from someone else who heard it from the Bible, or whether we heard it from someone else who heard it from someone else who heard it from the Bible, no matter what, it's ended up coming from their witness. So consider some of the words of this man Simon in this book. Simon was later nicknamed by Jesus Peter. Simon Peter gave us the letters of 1 Peter and 2 Peter in the Bible. We heard 2 Peter before, and we heard Simon Peter, talking about how he had witnessed Jesus, how he'd seen him, known him. Well, in 1 Peter, the other letter he gave us in the Bible, he tells us what the death of Jesus means, the death of this man that he lived with and knew so intimately. He says this in 1 Peter chapter 3. Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. That's the words of this man Peter, who was called that day in Galilee. In 1 Peter, he also speaks of the incredible fact that Jesus defeated death and rose to life. again. Simon Peter witnessed this firsthand when he met his friend Jesus alive again. So he says that we have new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And those are words from someone who knew Jesus and saw him risen again. See, what we know of Jesus, we ultimately know from these witnesses. And people like me, who speak of Jesus today, are simply echoing their words, at least we should be. And so we today are still the result of their fishing. Indeed, tonight, this very night, if you're hearing their story tonight and you respond to Jesus, which you can do, by the way, his call to follow him is open. He continues to call you tonight, the one who suffered for your sin to bring you to God and rose to life so you'd have a living hope. If you respond to that call that he makes tonight through them, you'll be doing so in fulfillment of the call that Jesus gave them all those years ago by that lake. I think there's something deliciously profound to that. Even today, we're still fulfilling this call that he made on them to go out and fish for people. In line with this, it's good for us who follow Jesus to remember the main way we fish is by retelling their story, fishing with their methods, because their story is the foundation of our story. We echo it as they faithfully echo Jesus' call to them. Well, that's the first facet of following and fishing. The second is a deep truth about followers and fishers. Fishers, F-I-S-H-E-R-S, followers and fishers. As we saw that poem at the start, being a fisherman is more than just an activity. The poem said that the fisherman's not quite a fish and yet not quite the same as you and me. Apologies to any fishermen here, but it's probably true. It's something of an identity. And that was certainly the case for these communities of fishermen, of fishers, in the time of Jesus. It says at the end of verse 16, they were fishermen. Literally, they were fishers. That's who they were. It set the times that they woke up and slept. It set a large amount, it sort of dictated a large amount of what they ate, their clothing, their smell, the weatheredness of their bodies, all of it because they were fishermen. They were fishers. And so it's very significant in that light that in verse 17, Jesus says, I will send you out to fish for people. Or more literally it is, I will make you fishers of people. That points to something profound about this call of Jesus. When he calls you, there is a new identity and a new purpose. Commentator Richard Garland says, when one is hooked by Jesus, one's whole life and purpose in life are transformed. Being a follower of Jesus, responding to his call, is more than kind of an extra thing you do on the side. It's not hobby fishing. This is a new life and a new purpose in life. That was so for them in a very literal and obvious way. They left their nets and their boats and started a new vocation as apostles of Jesus. But it's not always as kind of obvious and kind of as literal as that for every person who follows Jesus, in terms of your day job, for instance. But nevertheless, even if it's not sort of a new day job for you, nevertheless, following Jesus will change the way you do your job. It'll change your attitude to it. It'll change your attitude to the rest of your time. And above all, if you take it seriously, it'll change your attitude to what your life is for. See, in our society, we're often defined by what we do, what we contribute to society, our success or failure in the workplace or in raising children, whatever it is we do with a lot of our time. But if we're Christians, you often hear me say, our work does not define us. It's not who we are, with one exception. This work of fishing for people does, in a sense, define us. In a sense, this work is who we are. Fishing for people is an identity. And I'm not talking only about those of us in kind of vocational type ministry work who do this for a job, like me. Now, as you read the rest of the New Testament, you'll find that following Jesus becomes the heart of who we all are when we respond to Jesus' call. We're all sent then to fish for people. We're all made fishers of people. And whether we're in church work as a day job, some of us maybe should be thinking about whether that should be what we do in the future. But whether that's our day job or whether we have other jobs, we're still called to fish for people as we echo the echo of those first disciples. And that means we really have no choice but to all of us be looking for chances to share Jesus' message when we get the opportunity. We also need to be part of a group, the church, who together are fishing. And we each need to support and contribute to that fishing work together. Which, by the way, I can't resist saying, is a good reason to consider coming along to Equip, which I mentioned earlier. Why? Because Equip, as I said, will equip you to understand the message of Jesus better from the Bible, which will help you fish and will help you equip others to fish so you can help them fish. Now, following Jesus means fishing. It becomes a significant part of who we are. It means becoming fishers of men, of people. Thirdly, briefly now, the price of fishing. There is a cost to following Jesus, to becoming a fisher of people. And it's more than the cost of a fishing license. And when Jesus called, responding for these men meant leaving their previous way of life, verse 18. They leave their nets. Verse 20, they leave their father in the boat with the hired men and they follow Jesus. That quote that I quoted before, when one is hooked by Jesus, one's whole life and purpose in life are transformed. And transformation pretty much always means leaving some things behind. If we follow Jesus, we're ultimately not who we once were. So you have to be prepared, if you're going to follow Jesus, you have to be prepared for it to have some bite, for it to have a cost. I get regular prayer updates from a woman who I went to Bible college with, who moved to probably the poorest country in the world, Niger, to use her skills as a doctor there to help desperately needy pregnant women, many of whom would have died if she wasn't looking after them, and to share the message of Jesus as she does that. Now, we may not go to another country, although again, I wonder if there are people who God might be nudging that direction. But even if we don't go somewhere else, we will end up leaving behind comfort in many ways in order to fish for people. And it's much easier to never say anything about Jesus. Look, society and your friends and workmates and stuff are never going to give you a hard time or make you feel bad if you don't say anything about Jesus. Never going to do that. But if you suggest, in love and with real care, that people actually need to turn and follow Jesus because we're not okay without him, that we need to repent and believe the good news, as Jesus himself said, that our natural rebellion against God means that each of us are in dire need of Jesus saving death for us in his resurrection. If you suggest that, you may well be thought of as narrow-minded. People say you've left your brain in the dark ages. Some people will even say you're dangerous. But we can't stop echoing the echo of these fishermen because we are fishers of people too. And so there is a cost, a price of fishing. That's the third facet of following and fishing from this passage. The last one is this. There is an irresistible fisherman. Do you see how profound the power of the call of Jesus is? He called these fishermen and they followed. His voice, his call, he himself was irresistible. There's a thing called the irresistible lure. It's a bait for fly fishing, as I understand it, and supposedly it's irresistible to fish. I have no idea if it's really irresistible to fish, but the great fisherman Jesus, when you really hear his voice, when you really understand him, he is irresistible. And the response of the fishermen in this passage seems almost crazy. They up and they leave everything. But I wonder if you could see that actually, while it seems crazy at first, it's the only sensible response. Because this fisherman is irresistible. And it's wonderful that he's irresistible. It's wonderful that we get to echo his call because the purpose and the identity that he gives is wonderful. Yes, there is a cost, but for everything good, there's a cost. And this is a wonderful thing to pay a cost for. In that sense, fishing, Jesus fishing and fishing in Jesus' kingdom is profoundly different to normal fishing. Because you probably realized fishing's not usually great for the fish. It's not a very nice thing. There is some fishing that is, though. I found a video of some guys catching exotic fish in the floodwaters in the streets after Hurricane Irma in the USA, and then they were releasing those exotic fish back into their kind of more natural waters. That was pretty good for the fish. Well, Jesus is a fisherman more like that. He's good for the fish. And as a fish who has been caught by Jesus, I can assure you it is very good to be caught by him. And don't forget, this fisherman, the original fisherman, Jesus, he went into the frying pan for us. He went there for our sins, gave himself for our sins, for the things we've done wrong. He died. And he faced not just kind of the force of one person's sin. He took the sins of the world upon himself and bore them. The wrath of God upon his shoulders, as we'll sing later. So whatever he may call us to, whatever we may have to do as those who fish for him, it will always cost us less than he paid for us. Being part of his fishing mission, part of this great harvest, is an incredible privilege. Because this irresistible fisherman is where true life is to be found. And Simon and Andrew, James and John, still remind us of that as we hear their testimony, their message, their story tonight. Let's pray. Thank you, gracious God, for this little passage of the call of these four fishermen. But thank you that it still has something very much to say to us. Thank you especially for the one whose call they heard and followed. Give us courage to follow his call even tonight, to take up what it is to be those who fish for people, following the great one himself. Give us strength and courage for that, we pray in his name. Amen.